Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning. It's great to be with you all, even though we're not together. And wherever you are watching from, you are really welcome. A particular welcome to those people who perhaps are not normally part of our congregations at St Andrew's and All Saints who are watching in online and checking us out. We love to have you with us, and we'd love to connect up with you and do drop us an email and introduce yourselves and who you are. My name's Dave Bruce, I'm the Rector of St Andrew's and All Saints, and Paul Hunt, one of our retired ministers, is going to be speaking later on in the service on the topic of Jesus calming the storms. But I want to encourage you now, whatever your week's been like, whatever struggles you've had, whatever joys you've had, that we're called now to lift our hearts, to lift our eyes, to worship God, to meet with him again, to encounter him afresh, to receive his love and his peace and his presence with us. And so I'd love you to join in as we call to worship with these words. Join in with the bits, if you can, in white, which just summarise how we gather here this morning. From scattered lives, we come to worship. From good weeks and bad weeks, we come to worship, bringing great times and painful memories, we come to worship, needing healing, needing peace, we come to worship, with hope in our hearts, we come to worship, to the Almighty God, we come to worship. To the King of Kings, we come to worship. Separate, but together, we come to worship. Let's worship in the words of This Is Amazing Grace.
It's me too. conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
So, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your great love for us, that you give us what we don't deserve. That you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you for the cross, that you died in our place, that we might know forgiveness, that we might have our relationship with you restored. And we thank you that you are with us now. In the midst of the storms of this current time, that you are here, giving us your love, your presence, and your peace. We open our hearts to you this morning. May you meet with us in this time. In Jesus' name. Well, it's been lovely over the last few weeks to connect up with different members of the church family remotely, particularly by Zoom coffee. This was what it looked like last Sunday when we had our special big wave from St Andrews. Over 70 people, I think, were on all together and we were able to greet each other. And it was lovely last week too to hear from our young people and to have some of our young people leading us in worship. And this morning we've got a really special message. We're going to the other end of the spectrum. We've got a very special message from our oldest member of St Andrews and All Saints, from Megan, who's 104 and wanted to send us this special message that her carer managed to record for us.
Greetings from Megan, 104 years old, to my brothers and sisters at All Saints and St Andrew's Church. I miss not seeing you on Sundays. At the moment, I'm suffering from the effects of a mini stroke and am not able to walk on my own, so have now got a carer, Vanessa, who shares my faith and is a great blessing to me. I am making good progress, but patience is needed. Last Sunday, I watched our two services online and was delighted to hear one of my favourite hymns, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It reminded me of the 92 years that he has been my Saviour and my Lord. What a wonderful friend he has been and still is. I am sure that many of you will agree with me. Vanessa and I send our love and pray that God will bless all that our churches are doing during this difficult time.
Well, thank you so much, Megan. You are such an inspiration to all of us, having been someone who's been following Jesus for over 90 years. Thank you for your prayers for us. And we continue to pray for you too at this time. It's great being in such a intergenerational church family, isn't it? Where we can learn from the youngest and we can learn from the oldest. Well, today we're going to be thinking about another story in Mark's Gospel. We're going to be thinking of a story where the disciples, Jesus' friends, found themselves really scared, found themselves really anxious and wondering what was going to happen. But actually in that place, Jesus meets them. He's with them and he gives them his peace. And I just wondered if you're sitting at home with others, why don't you pause this and just maybe share a story of where you might have found yourself in a place where you might have been scared or frightened or just not knowing what the future holds and where to turn. And where you have known God's presence and God's peace. Just share those stories amongst yourselves now. And we're going to hear this morning's story before the children go off to their activities. Children, you're going to be looking at this story too in the worksheets that Helen's put on the website for you. And it's the story of Jesus calming the storm. And there's going to be some pictures that you can watch to see that story. Let's hear from Chris.
The reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, a little bit later on in the service, Paul is going to share some thoughts on that passage with the adults, and the children are going to go off in a moment and do their own activities. But before we do that, we're going to sing another song, which is a favourite of some of the children I know, which is My Lighthouse. And this song speaks of Jesus being my lighthouse, being the light that guides us in the difficult times. It talks particularly about your great love will see me through. You are my peace in my troubled sea. And as we sing it, let's know God's peace with us. And after a great performance last week, back by special request, is Ruth to lead us in the actions to My Lighthouse.
Hi, it's great to not see you, but just to know you're there. So we're going to worship again using our bodies, and this time we're going to dance to My Lighthouse. And some of the actions might be a little bit different to what you used to, but that's okay. Do what you know or learn something new. Right. Are you ready?
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I won't follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Jesus, that we can worship you in so many ways.
Well, this is the point in the service where the children might like to grab their activities that Helen has prepared for you and start having a look at those together. But the youth, we'd love to just keep you for a little bit longer before you head off for your Zoom with Eddie. Because earlier on in this week, I caught up with Chris and Lucy Finn and shared something of their story of a few weeks ago, where at the start of lockdown, they themselves were facing a bit of a storm in their own lives. And they've got a great little testimony to share with us of how God provided for them, gave them his peace and met them in that difficult place. Here's the chat we had with them earlier.
Chris and Lucy, it's lovely to speak to you today. For those of you who don't know you, why don't you just introduce a little bit about yourselves and who you are?
Hi. We have been coming to St Andrews for about 10 years, and we have four children and a dog. And Chris is a freelance sound engineer and tours all over the UK and Europe. And I'm at home with the children, but also I manage the bar at the Keep.
Great. So busy people in your own way. And today we're thinking about the story of Jesus calming the storm and just perhaps Jesus being there in some of the really stormy, tough times of life. And for you guys, the start of lockdown was one of those times. Do you want to just share a little bit about what was going on there and what did it mean for you guys to meet Jesus in the storm at that time?
Yeah. Well, as Lucy said, I'm a freelance sound engineer, and I've been self-employed for 20 years. So the work drying up in the effects of lockdown has hit me quite hard. So it was back in April, wasn't it? March, that's when, you know, these announcements first happened. And I literally lost all of my work in a period of about 2 days. I was getting phone calls kind of hourly to say, oh, this is cancelled. We're going to reschedule that for 2021. So, that was sort of a shock, I suppose, that we had to deal with at the time. But I suppose that's, you know, the storm. And the calming of that is that I really have felt God's presence in this. And we immediately prayed as a family. Do you want to say about school as well? Because we made a decision.
So on the 16th of March, that was when we lost all of our work, both of us. And that afternoon, Naomi came home from school and she was so anxious because there was just so much talk about coronavirus and just this real sense of spirit of fear and anxiety in her, which we don't really see very often. They're quite calm and chill children. So we just prayed about it and made a decision that night that we would keep the children at home and we would start home learning because there was just no point if, you know, if it had already started and we're at home, we'll just keep them with us. So the next day we did a Bible study on fear and anxiety and we focused really on two pieces of scripture. So in Philippians it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there's also the bit in Luke 12, which says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, but God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And we sort of focused on those. And we prayed as a family together, which is, you know, really good. And I said to Naomi, after we prayed, I sent an email to church to just say, this is the situation and this is what we're doing about it. And within minutes, I was saying to Naomi, you know, I don't know how this is going to be okay, but I know that it will be. And we've just got to trust God completely. Mm. And at that moment, the phone rang and it was Andy Lamb, the treasurer, and he just said, you're not going to believe this. And he said this morning that he'd had an email from somebody, we have no idea who, but we're so grateful, and saying that they had been spoken to by God, saying that due to the current economic crisis and the nature of Chris's work, that God was telling them to support us financially. And that's just incredible for us to be able to witness to our children and for them to not just see faith, but to actually experience faith and live through it. And so we've just been so blessed beyond belief.
And what was the children's reaction?
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Couldn't believe it. You know, we laughed a lot, we cried a lot. We couldn't just
Yeah, I think their reaction has probably been a process of emotions over the last like 8 to 10 weeks, where we've definitely prayed and been grateful and thankful to God. We've been, you know, every day, and that's become, these are the positives that have come out of it, is that it's drawn us closer together as a family. We pray together, and everything that's going on in the news, which the kids are aware of, you know, we'll all watch the news together and sort of have a moan and wonder what's going on. And but we are able to talk to them and say, well, you know, we just have to give this to God because he's in control. You know, he's bigger than COVID, and, you know, he's always been in control. So, and I felt a real peace about the whole thing. I can't say that I've had any sort of, I haven't lost sleep over it or been anxious. I've just known that God's going to be, you know, provide for us.
Mm. It's funny because before this happened, you sort of feel like you're in control of everything, and, you know, you've got all the dates in the diary for the whole year and all of Chris's work planned out for the next 12 months and all of my work, holidays, everything just planned and booked. And actually, really what we've learned is that we were never in control, but God always was.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really amazing thing, and it gives you such a peace, doesn't it? But what's really lovely as well through this is that Naomi has definitely drawn so much close to God, and she's been doing some really great artwork. So she's been...
Oh, lovely.
Doing lots of stuff. She's been doing lino printing, using bits from the Bible as well. Like, she's really drawn closer to God. Home learning stuff. But equally, I think we've done some amazing things, and we've, like, grown some fruits and veg, and I think in that way the kids are learning things that they probably wouldn't have learned otherwise, which is also a real blessing.
But all of us doing home learning needs people's prayers to keep sane and keep patient.
Yeah,
patient.
And get through. Yeah. That's been really brilliant to talk to you guys. It's so lovely to hear your story. It's such an encouragement. And we will go on praying for you and for whatever the future holds for you guys and however long this is going to last for you.
Well, thank you so much, Chris and Lucy, for sharing that with us. And it's just so encouraging, isn't it, to hear how God meets us sometimes in those most difficult places and takes us deeper and grows our faith, and particularly the faith of a whole family. So it's a great story. Thank you for sharing. Well, we encourage the youth to go off and join Eddie for the youth Zoom now. But the rest of us, I'd love to encourage us to just be still, to hear those words again from Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Just in this place of stillness, I want to encourage you, first of all, to think back over the last week. And think, where are you grateful? Where do you want to say thank you to God for his provision, for his presence with you? In 1 Thessalonians it says, give thanks in all circumstances. So let's, in the quiet, bring our thanks to God. And maybe in the last week there's also been times where we've known we've not lived as God has called us to live. Maybe just the pressures of this time means that we've lost patience, we've reacted in ways which God wouldn't want us to react, where we haven't loved others and loved God as he would want us to. And in the quiet is a chance to bring anything that we want to confess before God. To say sorry. To ask his forgiveness. To ask for his strength to live differently. and hear his words, your sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God put our sins from us. And receive his forgiveness. Receive his love afresh. Hear him speak over you those words from Jeremiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Just dwell in your Father God's love for you now. Knowing that whatever the last week has been like, that he's there, ready to give you a fresh start, ready to be your comfort and your peace and your strength.
Walk upon the waters wherever you would call. rise above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine.
Well, this Thursday is Ascension Day, and that begins the Thy Kingdom Come global initiative that we've been part of for the last several years. Because of coronavirus, this year is going to be slightly different. We're not going to be able to gather in person to pray, and particularly not to be able to gather like we did last year with a big marquee up in the Priory with other churches from across the town. But we still want to commit this time to really praying and praying Thy Kingdom Come for our community, for our nation, for our world. Thy Kingdom Come is particularly set up to encourage people to pray that people would become more open to Jesus and that people would come to know Jesus who don't know already. And there are several ways that you can do that over the next week, and we put some details on this week's mailing. We'd love you to, first of all, pray for five people. Are there five people who don't yet know Jesus that you might pray for each day of these coming few days? Pray that actually God would meet them at this time, that they would know, come to know him, and that you might be have the chance to share something of your own faith with them. We're also going to be having, from next week on Monday, prayer each morning on Zoom. We're going to pray every day of that week, have a morning prayer. A chance to really gather together to pray Thy Kingdom Come together. More details of that on the mailing. And also a week on Friday, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer where we're inviting you to sign up for an hour slot to pray and commit to pray in your homes for God's kingdom to come across the world. And more details of that again and how you can sign up for that are on the website. We would and on the mailing. We would love you to sign up for a slot. It doesn't matter if several people sign up for the same slots, but why not find an hour to pray, or half an hour to pray, or 10 minutes to pray, whatever is right for you, and offer that time to God at this time of particular crisis in our country and across the world still. So we'd really love you to join in with that. That leads us on to our prayers now, which Carolyn Chapman, our St Andrew's Christian Aid rep, is going to lead for us, and then after that Paul will speak.
Yesterday saw the end of Christian Aid Week 2020, usually a time of door-to-door collecting in communities across the UK, but not possible this year under lockdown. Churches have, however, been collecting virtually, and St Andrew's and All Saints are no exception. We have a Just Giving page for our churches, accessible via a link from the Christian Aid post on our website. It seems appropriate to start with a prayer for Christian Aid and its work. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, please bless at this time Christian Aid and all organisations working to relieve poverty and suffering overseas in the poorest communities of your world. In these challenging times for everyone, may they continue to have the resources they need to bring your love and healing to the people they serve. We pray for all who are ill or in pain and ask for your comfort and healing. We pray too for all those who are especially vulnerable to coronavirus and ask for their protection. In a moment of silence, we hold before God those who are especially on our hearts at this time. Father God, we thank you for medical workers everywhere. Please protect them and give them the strength, resilience and skill they need at this time. and please give supernatural insight to those scientists searching for an effective vaccine against the coronavirus. We pray for those struggling emotionally at this time, for those lonely in isolation, for those grieving, for those feeling distressed or afraid for loved ones and the future, for families with raised tensions under lockdown. Lord Jesus, who calmed the storm, bring your healing peace to all these situations. Again, in a moment of silence, we hold before God those known to us who are struggling at this time. Gracious God, we pray for all leaders in government across the globe that they make right decisions and lead wisely at this time. We pray too for your worldwide church and its leaders. We pray particularly for Dave and Pete. May you give them wisdom and strength in all they seek to do for your kingdom at this time. May your church be a beacon of hope and love to our communities. We pray all these prayers in the name of Jesus. And we finish with the Christian family prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
That story that we've heard from St. Mark chapter 4 just a few minutes ago jogged my own memory as I was reading it again, and it may be it jogs your memory. When were you in a boat of some kind and felt fearful and anxious? Maybe it was, I'm thinking of my own life, in a dinghy with brothers and sisters pushing each other in, and sometimes quite dangerous. I think of a canoe, which I'm sure some of you would have rowed in, and again, some experience you've had when you've been perhaps turned upside down or been in some very dangerous water, or a sailing boat, or a rowing boat, or a ferry across the channel, or a liner. I remember going round the Bay of Biscay of West Africa, 5 days of terrible sickness, which you never forget. And whatever experience we might have had, this is a much bigger one that was being faced by the followers of Jesus in this storm. It was night, and it was a great gale, St. Mark tells us. Not just a gale of wind, it was a great gale. Waves were breaking in, and they were being swamped by them, and they were terrified. They were shouting out. Now, these are experienced men in boats and fishermen, and they'd never had a night like this. Luke says they were in great danger. You read a psalm, it's Psalm 107, in verse 25. It talks about people from the same kind of culture as these followers of Jesus. And it says, they went to the sea, and the tempest came up, and the waves went up to heaven and down to the earth. Their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered and were at their wit's end. It's amazing. And it was one of these experiences they must have had on the sea, or even probably on the sea. And just an enormous sense of being out of control and of fear and huge anxiety. And it's not unlike, is it, humanity at present. I've brought this globe with me here, which you can see. And it represents really all of humanity, and all of humanity at this sense, at this time, is going through a sense of lostness. Where are we? What's happening to us? Even where is God? I think there can be a sense too that someone said to me the other day, a sense of lostness. Many of us have never experienced, or most of us have never experienced anything like this quite before. Lostness, what about my health? Huge anxiety. What about my work? What about getting back to school, facing all those exams, and I'm not ready for it? What about the finances and perhaps some money that most of us will have lost something? And then we're aware of loss in relationships, loss not least in death of someone who's gone to be with God and is no longer with us. There's a poem which was written by W.B. Yeats, an Irish poet, back in the 1920s, coming out of the First World War, but the shadow of the Second World War just beginning to approach. And these are words that he used. Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the earth. The blood-dim tide is loosed. And everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. Yeats somehow sees the world in a boat and being drowned, just like this. And everything is somehow being loosed, which is to do with anarchy, which is to do with the centre not holding. The wonderful thing in this poem is that it ends up by leading us to Bethlehem. It's called The Second Coming. In the end, it leads to Bethlehem. But we'll come to that again in a few minutes. But there is such darkness, and over the globe, the world, I'm just putting this black sheet because it's something that everybody is having to face. A global pandemic is the word that's used, isn't it? Such darkness, as Yeats says, the falling apart, the centre falling apart, mere anarchy, the blood-dim tide is loose, the drowning of innocence. And for us, I think it can be a kind of being caught in between. The old certainties go, the supports we've had, the comfort zone. We've left behind the tried and the true. We're not in control. I'm a great lover of cricket, and you'll know this phrase from Jeff Boycott, famous Yorkshire cricketer and commentator. And when a bowler's bowling fast, and he bowls just outside your off stump, and he says, that was in the corridor of uncertainty, and the batsman didn't know, do you play it or do you not? And you're caught in between. And when you do play it, you're caught in the slips. If you don't play it, your off stump's gone. The corridor of uncertainty. I think that's a wonderful description of life, actually, of life at present. We just are in between. And you don't know where you are, you're betwixt and between. Israel had this in the desert, didn't they? 40 years in that desert, betwixt and between. Jonah in the belly of a whale, betwixt and between. The three Marys at the tomb of Jesus, betwixt and between. I had, and my family, an experience when we were part of a big experiencing a revolution in the Middle East, and at a time of feeling betwixt and between, and the support's gone and so much else, someone wrote and said, it's like putting your foot down in a mist. You put your foot down in a mist, where's it going to be? But then she added, and finding it a rock. I've never forgotten that. We put our feet down in a mist, and we find it a rock. And this is what those followers of Jesus found in that book, in that boat. They found a rock to hold them. In fact, it says in Psalm 107, that same psalm that I mentioned, they cried to the Lord. Listen to this. He stilled the storm. The sea was hushed. And there was a great calm. And here he gets up, rebukes the wind, says to the waves, be still. And it was completely calm. And then he turns to his disciples and says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Where's your faith? Why are you afraid? And you see, our Lord is taking two very important words. There's the word of fear. Why are you afraid? And the opposite of fear, I don't know quite what it is, but it's not necessarily courage. But the opposite of fear is faith. And the opposite of faith is not doubt, because every faith, if it's real, has doubt in it. But the opposite of faith is fear. And I think what Jesus is saying to them is this: yes, fear is natural, but why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Fear and faith. And it's at this stage I put on the our globe and over the darkness of the world, I put this beautiful piece of cloth. It's red because it's the colour, actually, of the blood of Christ. And it represents the cross. God so loved the world, the dark world, the insecure world, the world betwixt and between, the world of uncertainty. He so loved it that he gave his only beloved son. He came in his own beloved son to bring us out of fear and into faith. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word, if I can put it like this, in our boat. The cross, the word in the boat of our lives, among us. Or in other words that Jesus himself used, this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I want us to spend a few moments just in quietness before we move on with this service. And I want to use some words from Isaiah 43, which some of you will know. And see this boat as your life. This is your life. This is my life. My life is a boat on a very stormy sea. But in the heart of the boat is Jesus. Asleep, not so much because he was exhausted, but he had a trust in his Abba Father. And as he gets up and says, be still and be calm, why are you fearful? Where's your faith? He's saying, have the faith in Abba Father. have trust in him. And this is the scripture, it's Isaiah 43. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Our boat passes through the waters. Jesus says, I've redeemed you. My blood has been shed for you. I've given my life for you, for this world. Put your trust in me. Or in those wonderful words he said in St. John, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also, trust also in me. I'm with you in your boat. You're not alone. And Jesus says to each of us, be not afraid. I've redeemed you, called you by name, and you are mine. And just in a moment of quiet, I want us to rest with Christ in your boat. He's there. He's with you. He's the one who rises up and says, where is your faith? Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I call you by name. And as you pass through whatever waters each of us is going through at the moment, Lord, you're there with me, with us. And I can trust you. Amen. We'll just have a few moments of quiet.
Know just what to do.
And so what a wonderful promise that Paul has shared with us to take into this week, to know that the Jesus who calmed the storm is with us by his Spirit. And so we can hold on to faith and let go of fear. For Jesus is with us in our boat. We are not alone. Well, thank you so much for joining us once more. If you're watching on Sunday morning, then we'd love to invite you to join us for our Zoom coffee at 12 today. Details on our mailing. And if you're a visitor, again, we'd love to catch up with you and do connect up with us via the website. And if there's anything that we can pray for any of you, then we'd love to invite you to send in your prayer request to Pray One For Me at standrewsnorthsaints.org. And we will be committed to praying those things for you. We believe in a God who answers prayers, a God who meets us as we offer those things in prayer. So we'd love to offer up any prayers for you that we might have. So a final blessing as we go from here, as we go into a new week. May Christ, who stills the storm, fill you with his peace. May he overwhelm you with his love. And may he lead you in hope, now and forevermore. And may God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. God bless, stay safe, and take care.